Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program this morning. I'm glad you could join us. And if you would like to follow along in your Bibles as I preach through the Scriptures, I'll be preaching from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11 this morning. And my title is The Simplicity That Is in Christ. The Simplicity That Is in Christ. That's from 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. Now, Paul was used of God in a great way to pioneer and establish churches in the regions of the Gentiles throughout Asia Minor and the seaports and different places around the Mideast and even going close to Europe. He didn't make it into Spain as he wanted to, but he made it to Rome. He was in prison at Rome. But Paul was used greatly by the Lord to establish these churches. And what he would do is the Lord would open the door and send him there, and he would preach the gospel. Normally, he would go to a Jewish synagogue in that place and begin preaching the gospel of Christ, the salvation that God freely and fully provides for his people by his sovereign grace in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a new message to them. It was a message that they'd never heard before, because all false religions, all human religions, are salvation in some way, to some degree, at some stage, salvation by works, the works of men. And the Christian religion preaches just the opposite. The works of men and women cannot enter in as to the ground of attaining or maintaining salvation, or making sinners right with God, or making sinners righteous before God, because that was and is totally, completely the work of Christ. And so Paul preached that message, showing how God could justify, that is, forgive sin and make sinners righteous, justify the ungodly, sinners, that all men were sinners. You know, Paul preached that there was nothing good in any of us in God's sight. And I always make this distinction, because people don't understand this by nature, that when you talk about goodness in a biblical way concerning the Christian religion, you have to talk about goodness as it pertains to God and as it is measured by God, and not as it pertains to human beings on this earth and as it is measured by us. God has a higher standard than we do. And that's why Christ, you remember in Matthew 19, he spoke to the rich young man there, and he told him, he said, there's none good but God. Paul had dealt with that in Romans chapter 3 when he talked about how there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. All of those passages in the Old Testament was made clear, there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And so that's the state of man by nature. That's the Christian view of the world. Man is a ruined, totally dead and depraved sinner, even at his best. And what we by nature call goodness is not goodness in the eyes of God at all. So you could imagine Paul going into a place like Corinth, which at that time was a pretty good-sized city. It was a big trade center. It was a place where a lot of people from a lot of different countries and cultures came. And Paul was going in here and preaching this gospel, showing that God is a holy God and he cannot tolerate sin, that God must punish sin, and that all of us by nature are sinners and deserve eternal damnation. That's the message of the Christian religion. That's the gospel message. But it's not a message of despair because God has freely and fully provided a way of salvation, a way of forgiveness, a way of righteousness. But that way is by His grace. It's a free gift. It's unearned. It's not deserved. And it is freely given to His people based upon the merits, the worthiness, the value of the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I have just described to you is the simplicity of the gospel. And the command of the gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him. Rest in Him. Look away from ourselves. Don't look within ourselves or to ourselves for salvation, for hope, for peace. Look to Christ and Him alone. And that's the simplicity of Christ. Now that word simplicity in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 11 is virtually a word that sets forth the singleness. In fact, some say the word actually means the singularity, the single message that is in Christ alone. And I'll get to that. But let's look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul starts off. He says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Now, what's Paul talking about his folly? Well, Paul never desired to be in a position before believers that he would have to defend himself. But false preachers had crept into the church at Corinth, teaching damnable heresies, teaching things contrary to the gospel, seeking to bring people under the bondage of the law. And this was after Paul had left, and here he is writing a letter. And they had accused Paul of several things. They accused Paul of being proud. They accused him of being promoting himself. They accused him of being boring. I mean, they accused him of a lot of things. They accused him of being a hypocrite. And so Paul, because of their accusations, he was forced to defend himself and to give his reasons why he preached the way he did. And that's what he's saying. Would to God that you would bear with me. Bear with me in this foolishness that I have to defend myself before the people of God to whom I first preached the gospel. But here's the reason he did it. Look at verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 11. He said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." Now, he says, "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Many times in the Bible, the union between God's people and Christ is described as a marriage union, an eternal, unbreakable marriage union. And we could go through the whole realm of that marriage union. You know, for example, before the foundation of the world, God chose a people and gave them to Christ. And that's His bride, His church. And He's the husband. He's the bridegroom. And the church is His bride. And over in Romans chapter 7, in verse 4, listen to this. Paul writes here to the church at Rome in Romans 7 and verse 4. He says, "Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ." That means that Christ, by the sacrifice of Himself, satisfied the law of God against His people, against His bride. In other words, the law of God pronounced us sinners as we fell in Adam, and as we are born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, and as we come forth from the womb sinning. We are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the only thing the law can do for us, based upon our efforts to keep the law, is condemn us. That's all it can do. The law cannot pronounce a sinner righteous. The law cannot provide forgiveness. The law has no mercy. That's what the Bible teaches us. In the book of Galatians, Paul talked about that. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. Because cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Galatians 3:10. So the only thing the law can do for me as far as a right relationship with God based on my works or my efforts or my intentions is to condemn me. But that's the whole reason that the gospel of salvation is by grace through the righteousness of another, the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself in my place as my surety, as my substitute, as my redeemer, kept the law unto death and satisfied the law. So he says here in Romans 7:4, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law. But how did I become dead to the law? In other words, the law's penalty is fulfilled, satisfied. How did I get that way? By the body of Christ, not by my law keeping. And listen to me, people, today. It is not by my decision that I become dead to the law. It's not by my believing in him that I become dead to the law. It's by the body of Christ. That's by his sacrifice. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, he, Christ, hath perfected, satisfied, finished, completed forever them that are sanctified. But back here in Romans 7:4, he says, you become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now look here, that you should be married to another. Now, in other words, this is a marriage union, married to Christ. He said, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. That's the fruit of the marriage union with Christ, the fruit of his merits, the fruit of his righteousness imputed. You know, many times in the scripture, the righteousness in which believers stand before God, which is the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, accounted, charged, reckoned to us, is described by the metaphor of a wedding garment. Isaiah 61, for example. Revelation 19 is another example. The white robe of the saints is not our works. I heard a preacher say that one time on television. He said the white robe that the saints wear before God is the white robe of their works. Oh no. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah said, Isaiah 64:6. It's the white robe of Christ, his righteousness. It's all in him. So now go back to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. This is what Paul says. Now, when I preached the gospel to you, Paul says, I pointed you to Christ as your husband. Not anybody else, not the law, not the preacher, not the church, but Christ. And he says, for I'm jealous over you, verse 2, with godly jealousy, that is, it's a righteous jealousy. Most jealousy is bad because it's usually selfish. But here he says it's a godly jealousy because I have espoused you to one husband, Christ, that I may present you as a chaste, a pure virgin to Christ. Now, by nature, we're anything but pure, aren't we? By nature, we're spiritual prostitutes. That's what the scripture says. Yeah, I know that's offensive to some people, but that's what the scripture says. We've committed spiritual adultery. And we did that when we fell in Adam and sinned against God. But in Christ, there is a chasteness. There is a purity that can only be found in him. How could I stand before God and without embarrassment say, God, I'm pure in your eyes? There's not but one way. And it's not in myself. It's not in the best that I can offer God. It's in Christ. I'm washed pure from all my sins. How? By the body of Christ. By his blood. You may sing that song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the only purity that I have before God. Because even now, as a sinner saved by grace, I still have to fight the flesh that contaminates everything I think, say, and do. And that's why Christ is my intercessor. He redeemed me by, I was ruined by the fall. Christ redeemed me by the blood, His blood, and out of His blood, out of His death comes life. I'm regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and now I'm in a battle in this life within myself, and I must constantly look to one single solitary person for my salvation, for my forgiveness, for my righteousness, for my purity and holiness, for my peace and comfort and assurance, and that one single solitary person is Christ. It's all in Him. Now, you're getting the idea here? Well, look at what he says in verse 3. He says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety." Now, you know where that's referring to. That's referring to Satan, who appeared to Eve in the form of a serpent and questioned God's word and got her to doubt God's word through his subtlety. He said, "I fear, lest by any means through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity," the singleness that is in Christ. That's the key. Now, what does he mean? Well, Christ, you know, over in the book of 1 Corinthians, listen to this. This will help you. And I pray that the Lord will open your eyes to see these things. But look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here, and we'll look at verse 29. Here the apostle is talking about how when God saves a sinner, that sinner has nothing in which to glory or boast but Christ. God has set up His way of salvation to glorify Himself through Christ. He gets all the glory, and He leaves none for us. You see, our glory is Christ. And the reason God did this, look at 1 Corinthians 1:29. He says that no flesh should glory in His presence. That word glory means to boast. It means to have confidence. But in what are we to glory? Verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 1. But of Him, the Him there is God the Father. But of God the Father are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Now what is Christ made unto me? Wisdom. All the wisdom that God requires of me is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God in His salvation, in His purpose and His plan, in His providence. It's God's wisdom that's found complete in Christ. So who of God is made unto us wisdom? Who of God is made unto us righteousness? I have no righteousness before God but Christ. All my works, my best works fall short. You remember in Matthew chapter 7, those false preachers who stood before Christ and said, "Lord, Lord, haven't we preached in Your name? Haven't we done many wonderful works? Haven't we cast out demons?" And He said, "Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. I never knew you." You see, I'm preaching right now in His name. But when I stand before Him at judgment, I'm certainly not going to plead the righteousness of my preaching. I preached in Your name. My preaching in His name is not my righteousness before God. Christ is. That's the simplicity, the singularity of this message. Christ is my righteousness. What is righteousness? It's perfect satisfaction to God's law and justice. Listen, righteousness in the Bible, when it comes to salvation and a right relationship with God, is the perfection of the law that can only be found in Christ. It can be found nowhere else. That one single solitary person, Christ Jesus, Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Christ kept the law perfectly. Christ died under the penalty of the law. He was made a curse for His people. He died the just for the unjust. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And what did he accomplish in his death? He satisfied perfectly the justice of the law. That's righteousness. So if you see, you have to be righteous to be right with God. You have to be righteous to have fellowship with God, to live forever with God. Where am I, a sinner, going to find righteousness? Well, the Bible says in Romans 5:21 that grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in salvation, so that I won't glory in myself, but glory in Christ, He has made unto me righteousness, wisdom and righteousness. And then He says in verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 1, He's made unto me sanctification. Now, what does that mean? Well, that's holiness. And there He's not talking about moral purity. Now, I don't have any moral purity. Christ is the only morally pure person that ever walked the earth. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. But I'm set apart in Him. I'm separated from the world in Christ. It is Christ, that single solitary person who did this great single solitary work on my behalf as my surety, as my substitute, as my redeemer, that I'm set apart. He's the one who separates me by the grace of God. And then He says, and redemption. Christ paid the full redemption price. I didn't contribute to that payment. Most people today think they do. They say that you'll hear preachers say that Christ, God loves you, Christ died for you, now the rest is up to you. Well, that's not the simplicity that's in Christ. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And somebody says, well, you must receive the gift. No, the Bible teaches you, if He died for you, you will receive the gift. He will give you life from the dead, and you will be redeemed. You are redeemed, rather, by the blood. And He says in 1 Corinthians 1:31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's our boast. Singularly, solitarily in the Lord. Paul wrote it in Galatians 6:14. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now go back to our text in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul writes in verse 3 now, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted. Now Paul had pointed them singularly to Christ for all wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, for all salvation. And these false preachers had come in and tried to get their minds on other things other than Christ for salvation, for forgiveness, for a right relationship with God. Most of the time, the false preachers will try to get your mind on you or on them. Get busy. That's what they say. Look within yourself. Find within yourself. Find peace and hope and assurance and comfort and joy in yourself rather than joy and peace in believing, that is, looking to Christ. And that's what he means here. He says that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, that singular, solitary message of all of salvation in this one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at verse 4. Now this is important. He says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Another Jesus? In the Greek language, there's two different words. When you read in the English translations, the word another, one word means another of the same kind. And you'll see that, for example, in John 16, where he's talking about Christ sending the Holy Spirit, who is another comforter. In other words, he's another comforter, other of the same kind, the same nature as Christ, because he's the third person of the Godhead. Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not another comforter of a different kind. He's another comforter of the same kind, the same nature. But here the word another is another Jesus, one of a different kind. The same word Paul used in Galatians 1 when he talked about another gospel, which is not another. Another of a different kind. You know, some people say, well, we're all preaching the gospel. We're just going the same way. That's not true. That's heresy, friend. There's only one gospel, as there's only one single solitary Christ who saves his people by God's grace through that one single solitary work of substitution on the cross to make us righteous. There's only one single solitary gospel. And any other gospel is a false gospel. Look here. He says in verse 4, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring you to look to Christ alone. Or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now, the word him there is in italics. And the King James translators translated that way, because it's an objective pronoun, but it should be me. Paul is saying, you might well bear with me. In other words, as he's going through this, Paul would not never tell them to bear with or put up with false preachers, because in other passages, he tells them, he says, mark them and avoid them. So understand that. He's not contradicting himself here. He's saying, you bear with me as I go through this. And so he says, for if he that come preacheth another Jesus. Now I want you to focus on that, and I'm going to deal with this next time concerning this. My friend, there is the biblical Jesus. And that's what I preach. How do you know? And then there are false counterfeit Jesuses. Christ, many. And that's what I want you to focus on. And I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.